Welcome to the Hunger for Change podcast. I'm Niklas Gustafsson, and I'm very happy to have Dr. Robert Kiltz on the show today. Dr. Kiltz is a renowned fertility doctor, helping shape the future of reproductive medicine. He's a passionate advocate of the ketogenic carnivore diet for fertility and overall health and wellness. He's also promoting optimal human nutrition, obtained from eating a carnivore diet centered around fatty animal foods. He explains that eating this way provides optimal nutrition while avoiding unhealthy carbohydrates, vegetable oils, and plant toxins. So just to start, because you've been working with health in the health field for so many years, what is your take on health? What is health to you? What does it mean to you?
Well, health is actually a mental construct. It's how you think that determines how you feel. Because illness will happen to all of us because we're all going to die. We live in an environment that is always at risk of causing disease. And so being diseased or sick is not unhealthy. It's a mental game. And so my sister Marie Anne had diabetes since age 4 and was sick, according to most constructs, forever. But she was always joyous and happy, even though she died at 52. Even the last day that I saw her, 2 days before she passed, there was never one word of negativity. And so ultimately, health is through the mind construct and understanding and feeling that God is the power of all of us and having faith in God, number one.
We're not used to having doctors dig deeper into the root causes. So when I see what you do, I see that there is you're trying to find to get the patients on board of making like global lifestyle and diet changes, right?
Absolutely. So the root cause of disease is the roots, the seeds, the nuts, the fruits, the fiber, the vegetables, which is not what I was taught in undergrad, residency, a medical school, any of these things, right? We're taught that the disease is you're unlucky, you got the wrong genes, and you're eating too much red meat, which is a lie. And now I don't know if I could use the word a lie. Do the people who are promoting a plant-based, low animal fat, no animal fat diet are lying? Do they really know the truth? Or are the plants planting the seed of eating plants in order to control us? And it's kind of a fun story, but ultimately the plants are the predators and we're the prey. The cause of disease is simple. Plant-based low animal fat diet, and we're eating like a grazing animal 3 to 6 meals a day. And I've learned, because I suffered, my good friends have suffered, my family suffered, we're all suffering around the globe, and I went into medicine to help people. But I first was in internal medicine, and all I was doing was writing a prescription for the disease. I had no idea the cause. And so my life journey now is to help people understand the cause so they can control their physical health, their mental health, and their life overall.
Yeah, I totally agree. So what's your experience as an MD with patients who want to change their lifestyle, and when they go into this animal based diet, what are some of the most like mind blowing cases that you've seen?
Well, it's a tongue twister, it's a head turner, it's like come on, no, and I would say most people listen, they'll go like yeah, okay, sure, but most people are not jumping right into a animal based no plant based diet. And so you got to feed them slowly and easily, or it depends where they're at. And so, you know, my honesty is you are a lion, and lions eat meat, and pigs, cows, and sheep eat plants. Which one do you see yourself as? But I write about it. I talk about it. I really dig deep in why plant-based is deadly in general. And I think that passion to do that, you know, it feeds enough, and people hopefully hear it enough that maybe they're going to like, well, maybe there's something to this. But we like to share people's experiences. How many people have gotten pregnant? Or for my, like myself, my arthritis, psoriasis, bowel bleeding, kidney stones, migraines went away. Mm-hmm. My fear and worry went away. My fear to talk to you, Nicholas, and talk to others and share the story, even though I get chastised for it. And I actually now welcome the opposite ideas. And we need to communicate these ideas. Right. The interesting part is you can be a vegan, vegetarian, Mediterranean, pescatarian, or carnivorian, and you may live a long, healthy life with little to no disease. Mm. But in general, if you have a disease, and I see people with a disease and the disease is infertility. Now they show up to me and they say, well, I'm healthy, Dr. Kiltz. I say, well, you're infertile and reproduction is the foundation of life. Being a podcaster, a doctor, an artist, doesn't matter what you are. That has no value in life unless you reproduce. That's
yeah.
it.
Yeah, yeah, that's it. Yeah.
And so, you know, this story, it's all stories, right? We're storytellers, the Bible, you know, we love watching and listening and reading. So the more we share the stories and the success stories, because in general, women will do anything to have a baby. And I say that, you know, just kind of generally. Now, men will do anything to mate with someone who is reproducible.
Totally.
That's our life.
Yeah. So talking about reproduction, I've seen that within your fertility treatments, you offer services such as acupuncture, yoga, nutritional counseling. And so how do these complementary therapies support the overall health and wellness of your patients?
Well, let's say we don't know the cause of any disease. Let's just imagine we don't know that. But we could look back at our ancient experiences of meditation, prayer, cold water therapy, acupuncture, massage, and even some herbal medicines, some herbal oils, which are medications, by the way. These are all things that have benefited people. Now, why some of these things benefit some and not others, that's the mystery. We don't know that answer why. Mm. And so I actually kind of got into this because of massage, acupuncture, yoga, meditation, and prayer. Mm. About 25 years ago, I met an acupuncturist who said, hey, I'm taking care of your patients. Do you want to know anything about acupuncture? And I'm said, like, well, okay, sure. Like, yeah, kind of like, yeah, it doesn't work. And I met her, Heather, Simplicity Acupuncture. She still works for me, and we work together over the years. And I begin to learn more about human energy, right? We're talking, we're connecting, I'm listening. We're all learning and listening together, but your energy touches my energy. It's all energy work, right? Whether I put a hand on you or stick a needle in you, there's some energy that's always moving. And so I think that's what I got really interested in, is the mindfulness and how the mind is the master of it all. And as I delved more into that, that's kind of 25 years ago, I read The Secret, and I just got into all this mind-body connection and the positivity. I started a blog called Mind Body Smile 25 years ago. I'm like, it's craziness. And I would do daily writings, and I wrote a couple of books on inspiration and mindfulness. But then some of my patients were doing a diet that got them pregnant. And I'm like, what do you mean diet? So that's kind of how I kind of went from the mindfulness, the acupuncture, massage, meditation, and then to nutrition. But they're all still part of all of it that I believe we need to all look at. And again, if you're a vegan or vegetarian or whatever you are nutritionally, it's possible to get you where you need to go.
Yeah.
But we usually, our brain is usually like, oh, you don't know what you're talking about, right? We're thinking in the background, and I'm usually already speaking over you to tell you don't know what you're talking about, rather than, let me listen, let me learn, maybe there's something there that I'm going to go like, wow, this is amazing.
So when you mention herbal medicine, those herbs, is that compatible with your carnivore way of thinking?
Well, I'm a human being. I care for everyone as a doctor. And so, I don't know that there are many ways to slice and dice the meat. Mm. And the top of the line is carnivore. It's a true elimination of the poisons that I believe are the real culprit in our problems. But keto, that's why I use the word keto carnivore, because keto as a concept, remember, these are all human made up concepts. Keto is still something that helps a lot of people. Now, why would it help you and not you? I don't know that. But some people kind of walk into this and like, Dr. Kiltz, I'm never doing carnivore. Hmm. Well, I've got to meet them someplace and help them in some way, because as a doctor, I want to give you ideas that by simply going on a 3 to 5 day fast, you'll reduce a tremendous amount of your inflammation.
Yeah.
By eating fat, you'll reduce inflammation. Mm. And again, now I like to know what you're eating so I could narrow it down to what may be more antigenic, more inflammatory.
Yeah.
And so it's counter the way that why I generally live personally, but I eat some plants from time to time, but I don't daily eat plants. Daily, I either don't eat, I drink mineral water, and I eat my one meal, which is steak every day. Steak, salt, and water is my really daily meal. It's fatty, and I may have some butter. And then once in a while, I'll personally have some French fries with the grease all over it and a little bit of sour cream. But people have to understand the why part of it. See, we are omnivores. We are capable of eating animals and plants. All right. But we're not eating enough animal fat and we're eating too much plant oils. But the plant oils are not really the culprit as much as the plants are.
Sure. I know that you're a strong advocate of fasting for weight loss, improved metabolism, increased energy levels, etc. And but I know that's, a lot of people are skeptical, right? They're afraid of muscle loss, like damage to their overall health. So what do you think about these concerns? Should people be concerned?
You never have to fast if you don't want to, and you'll feel fine and you may live a long time. But in general, we're working to heal the gut. The gut has a sugar layer called the glycocalyx. The glycocalyx needs to heal itself in order to protect the epithelial cells, which are trying to keep the lectins, oxalates, phytates, and the poisons and toxins out of the body. Mm. Think of the gastrointestinal tract as just a tube, right? What's out here is just trying to get in here, but it can't do that unless it generally gets into the gut. Fasting allows the gut to heal. Now, if you read about bear hibernation or animals that nest or migrate, they don't eat for months. They don't lose muscle mass. So if you read about hibernating bears, they lose fat. They don't lose muscle mass. They don't lose bone mass. And they gestate a bear. And what do they use to create that bear? Fat. Mm. See, sugar is not the energy for your body ever. It's always fatty acids. Bulimics, anorexics, cachectic liver failure patients are at risk of dying fast because they have no fat on their body. So you eat to make fat to store fat so you can go days and weeks and months without food. We're built for that. And all I can tell you is that my muscles are still there. When you see someone that has been fasting and they've lost a lot of weight, why would you ever use muscle as energy when you still have fat? We need very little protein in our diet, but you need a lot of fat, but no one eats fat. The standard diet is fruit, fiber, vegetables, seeds, nuts, and lean meat, but no red meat. Agree? What is there fat in that diet? Fruit, fiber, vegetables, seeds, nuts. And lean meat. There's no fat. Again, plants are long chain carbon particles that are never required in the human diet ever. So the more you eat it, the more you damage the glycocalyx. The less healing you are able to do. And you get a leaky gut, and then you get bloated, you're fermenting in the gut. See, if you're eating three meals a day on average since the day you're born to the day you die, is your bowel ever empty of digesting food? So as long as you have digesting food in your gut, and what is the main source of food in our gut? It's plants, correct? So you're always secreting sugar into your bloodstream. Always, right? Day and night, 24/7, 365. So what we're measuring as a fasting glucose is not an empty gut glucose.
No, I totally agree. I've been doing intermittent fasting for 8-9 years now. I never have breakfast. So my first meal is lunch, and I feel great. I mean, that's, I would never go back.
And again, it's, ancient spiritual practices are fasting. Ramadan, it's fasting, right? But I believe we don't fast long enough. I think one meal a day is the only fuel you need for the Ferrari. You don't need to exercise, by the way. Exercise is not necessary in life. You want to move. You want to create. You want to do something. No animal purposely exercises to be healthy and or lose weight. Losing weight is dumb. All right? I call it dumb, right? If there's a famine, a war, pestilence, or you're pregnant with hyperemesis and you don't have enough fat on your body, you're fertilizer fast. So, you know, you just got to practice these things. And I don't listen to the standard. I mean, I listen because I that's what I learned, but I don't get distracted by, oh, how deadly it is, or you shouldn't do this, it's not good. You got to fuel your metabolism. All right. Well, like what's your heart doing while you're not eating? Your bowels are always moving. Your brain is always thinking. Everything is always, always moving. Your metabolism, you know, if you have no metabolism happening right now, you're dead.
So fat is our best fuel.
It's not our best fuel. It's our only fuel.
It's our only fuel, So you said that the we don't need that much protein. How much protein do you believe that we need?
I actually don't know that answer. I don't think anyone knows that answer.
Usually we get, we're being told that a certain grams per kilo, well, in Europe.
We're making that up. Someone just, you know, someone does this and this is what I do. And they're an expert. They look great. They become an expert and they put it out there. But if you've seen the study where they said, okay, I'm going to give you only fat to eat every day. All right. And let's see how you survive, right? I'm going to give you this much fat and this much amino acids, proteins. Let's see how you do. I haven't seen that study, all right? And so I don't want to speak a word because I know it because I've read someone's expert opinion. It's not a scientific study, which in many times science is also often snake oil because as a scientist, I want to propagate an idea that I believe in. So you like me, you'll have me on your podcast and I'll be famous and maybe I'll get a reproductive mate. But ultimately I don't look at, I tend to say 1-to-1 fat to protein. But you know,
1-to-1,
1-to-1 again, but look what a 1-to-1 fat to protein steak looks like. That's a lot of fat, right?
It's a lot of fat, yeah.
Okay, so people always, you know, what's the worst, what's the biggest problem in the world right now? Obesity. Let's just claim that as the problem, right? So people cannot lose weight easily, right? Are we meant to lose weight easily?
We're not.
We're not. No animal's meant to lose weight easily, no. Right? And you never lose weight, you use weight. You use the fat energy, right? So technically, if your metabolic energy is greater than your input energy, you're going to lose weight. But we don't even know what a calorie is anyway. Mm. But again, when I looked at the bear studies and I look at the studies of people who fast for long periods of time, they don't lose muscle mass.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that got me to thinking, well, how much protein do you need?
Hmm.
Again, what do you want to do? Do you want to gain muscle? Okay, lift weights, take steroids, right?
Yeah.
Which I don't recommend, by the way. But being bulky and big muscle is not healthy for us. It's not healthy.
So talking about calories, when I was a kid, there was always this, you know, calorie counting. Not just when I was a kid, but like 10, 15, 20 years ago, it was always like counting calories. That's what matters, you know, about losing weight. But nowadays, I mean, I see more and more that people are, that's not that important anymore. What is your take on calories?
Well, I don't think we know what a calorie is, because if we did, everyone would be able to be whatever weight they want to be because they understand the energy output and the energy input. But there is no, I mean, I've done Weight Watchers, Atkins, I've done everything in the universe in my past. Carnivore is one of those diets, I hate the word diet, nutritional habits that requires less counting of calories. Let's just say less, all right? Or just ignore it, right? And it's kind of one of those things when you just focus on what you want in life and stop counting, or like, oh, I got to do this and this, and just believing you will be that and you'll get there.
Totally. So, totally agree.
Again, I don't know what a calorie is, because no matter what I do, I'm staying about the same weight.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, I still got a little bit of the handle, because I'm not trying to be a skinny. Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to be like this. Because if I get sick or there's a war and pestilence and disease and I don't have some fat on my body, I'm screwed. So I just think none of us, you know, again, people have done the science. They worked in the laboratories. They measure all of this. Well, then if it's a simple formula, we'd all be whatever we want to be, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's not happening.
I'm really intrigued about your explanation about insulin resistance being used as a marketing tool to promote drugs that target insulin sensitivity. There are other drugs like statins. What is your take on this?
Okay, so insulin resistance is not true. Okay, insulin resistance means insulin is somehow resistant to doing its job, correct? And everyone says insulin's job is to put sugar in the cell. Agree? Okay?
Yeah.
So what if insulin's job is to make fat? What if the liver's job is to make fat? Okay?
To store fat, right?
Nope. To make fat.
To make fat, but for why? That's to store it, isn't it?
Okay, no, it's not. It's to make fat. It makes fat, stores it first in the liver, and then it circulates it around the globe, your body. You're meant to make fat and store fat via your liver and insulin. Okay? So when I read a book, The World Turned Upside Down by Richard David Feynman, and it said in there that carbohydrates are never required for the human diet. So that means sugar, plant sugars are never required for the human diet. Did you know that? I didn't know that years ago.
I think I learned this a couple of years ago. I didn't know that either when I was younger.
Never required for the human diet. Okay? Never. Whoa, what do you mean never required for the human diet? Then if they're never required, what's the function of sugar? What's the function of glucose? Okay? Yeah. All right, so if glucose's job is to make energy, but sometimes you burn sugar and sometimes you burn fat, agree? That's what they say, correct?
Yeah.
Well, what other system in your body burns sugar 1 minute and burns fat, breathes water 1 minute and breathes air another minute, right? There's no flexibility. Your body is very, very specific in its way it lives, okay, way it works, all right? So my sister had diabetes. She got it at age 4. She died at 52. She had no insulin in her body. She became very emaciated and thin and almost died. Okay, now, why did she become thin and almost die? She was eating food, right? Well, what food was she eating? Plant food, lean meat. She ate no fat, okay? Mm. So the insulin was not able to help make fat because she lost fat even though she was eating food. Okay, so now I had to figure out, well, okay, so why do we get fat? All right, what do we eat? Plants, right? Which are carbohydrates, which are sugars. Let's not mix words here. Every plant is all carbohydrate, is all sugar. Fruit, fiber, vegetables, seeds, and nuts are all plants. Okay, you eat them, they break down to simple sugars. They go to the hepatic portal system to the liver. And what's our number one problem for most obese patients? Fatty liver.
Yeah.
Okay, well, the liver is making fat, isn't it? Because they're not eating fat, they're making fat. Correct?
Yeah.
Okay, so now if you don't have insulin, you don't make fat. That's not a problem. But now I give you insulin, you make fat, correct? Diabetics who get insulin get fat. Type 2 diabetics that get insulin get fat, correct? So what's insulin's job? To make fat. You eat a plant, you get fat. Is that important or is that unimportant? That's very important. Because if you don't get fat, you're screwed.
Yeah.
Okay? So we tell people getting fat is bad, but in fact, getting fat is survival. All right, so now liver failure patients. What do you know about liver failure patients? What do you know about cirrhotic liver failure patients? They're all skinny.
Yeah.
They're all emaciated. They have no fat. Why do they have no fat? They have insulin and they have glucose. So, but every cell of your body makes fat, doesn't it? The fat cells make fat, doesn't it? You got insulin, hepatogenous diabetes. You ever heard of it?
No.
Hepatogenous diabetes. 96% of liver cirrhotic patients are pre-diabetic. They're insulin resistant and or they're frank, 30% of them are frank diabetics. Okay? So, okay, that said to me, okay, now wait a minute. If a liver failure patient, remember you go from normal liver to fatty liver, to fibrotic liver, to sclerotic liver, to cirrhotic liver, to dead, unless you get a liver transplant, all right? So what's the function of the liver? It's to make fat. What's the function of insulin? To make fat. Where? In the liver. So you see, the scientists of before gave us the metabolic pathways and said, this is how the body works, correct? And we believe it, don't we? Just like we believe that plants and fiber are good for us, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so now if we're believing everything, well, if you're willing to believe that plants are bad, why aren't you open to the fact that maybe insulin resistance is not true? Everyone gets fat because insulin is doing its job. And remember, if your belly is full of food your entire life, and what's it full of? Sugar. You're secreting sugar into your liver all the time. What's the liver's job? Make fat. Fatty liver, sclerotic liver, fibrotic liver, cirrhotic liver, dead. Occam's razor. Simple explanation is the one.
And
that is really it, because science gets like so complicated. Randall cycle, Krebs cycle, this, that cycle. I mean, isn't fasting amazing? Is that simple or hard?
Yeah.
Okay. And
it is.
And what's the biggest thing that fasting does? In general, it lowers your glucose level. Is glucose from a plant ever required in your diet? Never. Then the question is, what's glucose for? Glucose is for glycosylation. The glycobiome is the magic shield of our body. It's called the glycocalyx. It's the sugar covering of every cell of our body. It's made of monosaccharides, disaccharides. It's made of saccharides, sugars, glucose, galactose, mannose, fucose, N-acetylglucosamine, sialic acid. There are a host of sugars that your body makes. And by the way, when you eat meat, did you know there's sugar in meat?
Very little, right?
I don't know how much sugar's in meat, but the cell wall of every cell is made of phospholipids. Embedded in the cell are proteins. And growing out of the protein or the lipids are sugars. Think of the plants that are growing on the soil of the earth as the glycobiome, the sugar layer, which is highly antigenic. What that means is the sugars are the thing that tells your body that I'm friend or foe, come in or stay out. It's such a simple concept because, you know, if I rub against a plant, right, I get a plant antigen that gets on my skin and I get itchy, correct?
Yeah.
All right. I get pollen that I breathe, gets in my lungs, my mucous membranes, and causes inflammation. Agree? Right? Those are made from what? Sugars, correct? Okay. And so the bacteria, yeast, and viruses have sugar layers on them that are foreign to our sugars. So our body says, wait a minute, you're not supposed to be in here of any significance or frequency. A little bit from time to time may be okay, unless you have an anaphylactic reaction to a dust particle of a something, a bee sting, a piece of pollen, a peanut, right? All right. A speck of ricin. Ricin comes from the castor bean plant. How much of it will kill you? How much cyanide will kill you? Not very much.
No.
Okay? So the majority of the antigenic particles are from plants, bacteria, yeast, viruses, and other bugs. They're foreign sugars. Again, it's like a barcode.
Yeah.
And so I forgot the question. But ultimately,
We're talking about insulin resistance.
Yeah. Right. So insulin's doing its job. It's not resistant.
No.
And what do we do to obese women who their glucose levels go up and up and up? You know what we give them? Insulin.
Yeah.
And what does that do to them? It lowers their sugars. Right. And now if I give you insulin to lower your sugar, what do you now need to eat? All day long.
Yeah.
The American Diabetic Association is killing us. And by the way, the American Diabetic Association and the World Health Organization does not recognize hepatogenous diabetes. They're not even open in the, and no one really knows about the glycobiome. No one knows about it.
So you mentioned obesity, and that obesity is not actually the cause of any disease, but it's a symptom, right? It's a symptom of underlying metabolic dysfunction. So what are the factors that lead to metabolic dysfunction?
There is no metabolic. Well, the metabolic dysfunction is caused by poisoning from plants. Okay, so if you see me sitting here going, "Hey, buddy, how you doing? It's a great day," and I'm like this, and you know, I'm like, you know, you're gonna think I'm drunk, right? Okay, so how did I get drunk? I drank what?
Alcohol.
Oh, by the way, there's something called spontaneous alcohol syndrome. Because the fruit, fiber, vegetables, seeds, nuts, bacteria, and yeast in your belly are making alcohol. There have been cases of alcohol toxicity. So ultimately, being obese, as we labeled it, is simply a symptom of a plant-based eater. And so modern medicine is blind. We're highly resistant to the simplest story in the universe. You were born a lion, but you've been taught that you're a pig cow and a sheep. And so obesity, like if I was 300 pounds, I'm 5'6", would you say I'm overweight? Yep, wouldn't you? There are 5'6" people who are 300 pounds that walk around and live life normally, correct? Okay, now if you gave me an extra 150 pounds right now to carry around all day, could I do that? No, right? I can do it very limited. So people who are overweight are very strong. They're very muscular. You just can't see their muscles. And we judge them negatively. You know that. Very negative.
Totally. Yeah.
So number one, the worst surgery is gastric bypass sleeves. All these drugs for weight loss are deadly. What people need to do is get to the proper human diet, as Ken Berry says. I call it the lion's way. When you eat like a lion, you eat one time a day or less. You eat fatty meat. You don't eat lean meat. And you drink water. That's so simple. But ultimately, obesity is like the drunk alcoholic. They're drunk because they drank alcohol or they made it in their belly. And I personally believe every single disease we know is secondary to plant sugars, plant antigens, plant chemicals, fermentation of plants in the gut, and excessive exercise. And so, you know, 99% is diet. If you want to be skinnier, if you want to be fatter, it's your diet, right?
Yeah.
It's not exercise. That's not it. But we take every human being, size, shape, age, weight, gender, at our fertility clinic. Most fertility clinics, they say, well, if you're too fat, we can't help you.
So what is the association between overweight, being overweight, and fertility?
How do you get drunk? Drink alcohol. How do you get overweight? You ate plants. What's the cause of infertility? Plant-based diet. Plants, number one, glucose glycates. Glycation is rusting of every molecule of your body. Why it doesn't kill us sooner, I don't know. But it's sugar, your diet. It's all it is, right? Plus, plants contain estrogen, progesterone, and testosterone. Did you know that?
No.
Okay, what's the birth control pill and the abortion pill made from? Estrogen, progesterone, and testosterone.
Yeah.
Okay? So if I'm eating a plant-rich diet, especially soy, which is like everywhere, I'm eating estrogen, okay?
Yeah.
Do estrogens inhibit fertility? Yes. Now, why some people and not others? That's the question of the universe. No one knows that answer. Why do some people get struck by lightning and other people don't? Don't know, right? Do not know, all right? But there likely has to do with the charge.
Yeah.
We are negatively charged, positively charged battery, right? And the glycocalyx, by the way, is a negatively charged layer. it inhibits negatively charged particles from attaching to it. And so when the glycocalyx is damaged, it's positively charged, everything sticks. So the sugars damage the glycocalyx, which is everywhere. The chemicals of the plants cause you to be infertile, PCOS, metabolic syndrome, endometriosis, fibroids. And then the fiber and the vegetables in your bowels ferment, makes alcohol. Is alcohol good for reproduction? It's a denaturer of DNA. It causes birth defects, okay, and miscarriages. And so Occam's razor, simple explanation, simple answer is the one. Why some and not others, don't know that answer. But I can tell you that the propaganda from the 5 percenters that control the message is plant-based diet, eliminate red meat, and eat fake meat made out of plants, because your brain says, I need meat. You will eat fake food because your brain wants you to eat meat, but it's plants, and a plant is made out of what? Carbohydrate. And carbohydrates are never required in the diet. It doesn't make sense, but it's still kind of like, right? But butter never molds. Have you noticed that?
Yeah.
So why does butter never mold? Because fat is not the fuel for bacteria or yeast. Mm. Sugar is. And protein.
And protein, yeah.
Yes. Because amino acids are either ketogenic or glucogenic. Mm. That means they're sugar laden. And so that's why a high protein, low fat diet is deadly. Plant protein poisoning and rabbit starvation are not so uncommon, in my opinion. Mm. And all the mineral and vitamin deficiencies, because the fatty meat contains all the minerals and vitamins your body needs.
Good. So when you work with women, I mean, in your as a fertility expert, how can women benefit from going from a carb-loaded diet to a diet based on fats and proteins?
So number one, keto, I always start with, because keto is a high fat, low to no carbohydrate diet. But many people aren't willing to give up their carbs right away. They don't understand it, right? So let me get you to really focus on fat and some carbs and some proteins and fasting, one meal a day. Hmm. That helps a lot of people, right? Cook the carbs well, kill the bacteria, yeast, and viruses, and simple sugars are better than complex carbohydrates, by the way. And then I share the carnivore diet and why carnivore is the way, because when you eat fat, you suppress inflammation in the bowels. All right. You allow the glycobiome to heal. You minimize or eliminate leaky gut, which then allows the fat to circulate in your body and suppresses the inflammation. The fat is not immunogenic. Okay. It rarely will you put fat on your skin and your body will you have a reaction, unless it's tainted with some antigens from either the plants or the protein. Okay. And so the eating of the fat suppresses inflammation. The lack of eating because of fasting reduces inflammation. And that's really the biggest thing. And I've written books on keto, carnivore, the fertile feast. We just finished our book called Kiltz's Keto is Carnivore, which as people begin to listen and learn, I mean, even for you, I'm sure you're listening to some of my stuff and going like, this guy's off his rocker. Or, I don't understand that. It doesn't make sense, but maybe true. But every men and women, by the way, we take care of human beings, men and women, same sex, opposite sex, transgender. It doesn't matter who you are. Reproduction is still the most important thing. I get their complete history, including their nutritional history, their lifestyle. And I offer them nutritional advice, faith and fitness ideas and slowing it down and acupuncture, massage, all those things. And then we talk about standard medical. I mean, I'm a standard doctor. I do a lot of standard medicine, but I give you a menu of what you can do to help you have a baby, because this is what I immerse my life in 24/7. And so you're the doctor. That's why I try to help everyone understand that you're the doctor. I'm not the doctor. You're the doctor. Your job is to learn. Your job is to read, to listen, to watch. But don't believe me. You're the only one that can experiment on you. But I think this, if you want to, I'm a scientist. I'm a researcher. I've done it all. And I'm very, very skeptical of most science. Even be skeptical of my science, by the way, right? Because if you're not skeptical, but skeptical doesn't mean you say, oh, I don't believe you're wrong. It goes like this. Paul Saladino and Lane Norton both pretty much said, you don't know what you're talking about. I said, okay, I don't. You're right. But what if we as scientists stood back and opened our mind to the possibilities that something different is true? Number one, insulin makes fat. The liver makes fat. No other organ system of your body makes fat. No other cells of your body. Number two, all right? Glucose is never the energy of your body. Glucose must be converted to fat first in the liver or you die. That's why liver failure patients die, because they've got plenty of sugar and insulin. Okay. And fertility is the canary in the coal mine if you're infertile. I'm healthy, but I'm infertile. I'm having miscarriages. I'm having birth defects. Inflammation due to a plant-based low animal fat diet and eating 3 to 6 grazing meals a day.
I'm curious about what you think about the woman's diet during pregnancy, because does that diet determine the child's metabolic health? And what about the nutritional status, or even, you know, the food choices while the child is growing up, like spicy food, for example?
Heroin, cocaine, marijuana, nicotine, caffeine, cyanide, spices that if you put in your eye, they would burn, right? Where do they all come from? Plants. They're either glycating, they're either antigenic, or they're chemicals that disrupt your normal metabolic processes and reproductive processes, all right? And then the fiber and the sugars ferment in your gut. If you're a mom with a gestating baby in your belly, guess what you're feeding it? Heroin, cocaine, marijuana, nicotine, caffeine, cyanide, and alcohol. Okay. And you're feeding it plant sugars that glycate. Okay. ADHD, OCD, dyslexia, depression, suicidality, criminality, all of it is secondary to a plant-based low animal fat diet. And we are killing our children, our infants in utero. Women are the 40% increase in maternal mortality over the last few years. Fetal mortality is growing, pediatric mortality, even criminality in mass shootings. In my opinion, these people that are the shooters are sick because of the same problem.
Yeah,
the brain gets screwed up, schizophrenia, psychosis. It's all caused by a plant-based, low animal fat diet. And ultimately, if you're a mom or a dad-to-be, but you're a human lioness and lion, it doesn't matter who you are. Yeah. Why would you ever consume deadly and dangerous food of any significance or frequency, right? If you have a binge of alcohol drinking, you may, you know, kill yourself or kill someone else. A little shoot up of heroin, that may kill you, all right? Or a peanut and you have an anaphylactic reaction. We don't know why or when. My partner was driving on the highway one day. She couldn't breathe. She pulled over, called 911 because she had a crab meat that she had had many a times, but this time it caused an anaphylactic reaction. Thank you for 911 and someone giving her an EpiPen at the time, but what if all chronic diseases are low and slow inflammation, but you don't know it, it's under the radar, until you either die quickly, you're diagnosed with cancer or infertility. Hmm. Might it be that simple story, that plant-based grazing animal lifestyle is deadly for us lions?
Hmm. I was listening to this to the Swedish radio yesterday, and they were talking about testosterone levels in women, saying that was recently that they dropped, the levels dropped a lot, and that was and that's a huge problem. One of them is the sex drive. So they were interviewing this gynecologist, saying that she wasn't actually trying to help us find the way to boost the testosterone levels in a natural way, but they were talking, of course, about the pills, how to get them up with pills, right? So isn't that a pity that we, first of all, I think it's, why don't we try to find the natural ways of boosting our testosterone? Because you can do that, right?
Of course.
And, and also, they didn't go into the reasons why are the testosterone levels dropping?
Well, they're dropping, they're going up in women and down in women. They're going up in men and down in men. Mm. It all depends on what you're doing, right? There are two problems. Okay, so androgens are made in the adrenal glands and in the ovary and testicle. Okay? So if I damage the ovary or the testicles or the adrenal glands, or if I damage the hypothalamus or pituitary, I'm damaging the very source of production of androgens, correct? So we got to get back to Occam's razor. Simple answer. You're either not making it or you're damaging it someplace, right?
Yeah.
And so what's our fix? It's for a drug, right? It's an injectable drug, an oral drug, a topical drug, or it's medicinal herbal, right? Which is still a drug, by the way, right? Plants are herbal medicine. Now, so the first thing you want to look towards is, how do I heal the ovary, the testicle, the adrenal, the hypothalamus, or the pituitary glands, or I'm helping my proteins circulating in my bloodstream that's responsible for binding the androgens, estrogens, and progestins, and other many molecules in our body, right? So we're completely out of whack. So the cause is plant-based, low animal fat.
Mm.
Is that simple?
Yeah.
Because the plants contain estrogen, progesterone, and testosterone. Okay.
Yeah.
So if I take a little bit of estrogen, progesterone, and testosterone, much lower than my natural production, am I going to suppress my natural production? Yep. Because I'm going to suppress LH and FSH, which is the driver of androgens, and ACTH, adrenal corticotropin hormones, right? I'm going to damage them through glycation. So that's why our androgen levels are either too high or too low. Remember, women's androgens are likely elevated because their estrogens are low. So, and then they're not cycling right. They're having premature menopause, premature menarche. Their menstrual cycles are starting earlier and earlier and earlier and earlier. Breast development is happening earlier and earlier. Premature puberty is happening earlier and earlier and earlier. Because we're giving all of us humans, you see, the plants have been around millions of years longer than us. They've been making these chemicals well before us. Yeah. The chemicals that are in plants are not so dissimilar to our chemicals, right? We're likely just an outbranching of a plant. Mm. And so ultimately, the cause is simple: plant-based diet. We're eating our birth control, our abortion pills. We're eating the estrogen, progesterone, and androgens. And by the way, you know, we've learned long ago that taking supplements may damage something, right? This idea that, well, I'm in menopause, I need estrogen. Well, but what's the effect of taking the plant estrogens or the synthetic estrogens on something else? Were we born in order to be supplemented, or are we naturally born to go through menopause and all these things? And even the sex drive, we're supposed to have our sex drive on all the time? No. From time to time, at the proper time, with the proper person. We made sex into amusement. It's not. It has a purpose. Mm-hmm. And we're throwing all this incorrect advice to everyone, like, well, if you're not having a good sex life six times a day, something's wrong with you. So your doctor's selling an idea, you need a drug, maybe you need someone to build up your penis bigger or your breasts or something. It's all synthetic.
Yeah, I agree. So when you are if you're a woman and you're on the pill since you're very young, and it's actually, you're not taking it off until you reach adulthood, right? And you're seeking a pregnancy. How can this affect your fertility?
So it's a synthetic drug that has adverse effects potentially that could hamper your reproduction. And plus, you're taking a pill not until adulthood, to middle adulthood and beyond. Okay. See, our reproductive function is best in our teens and early 20s. Okay. Not at 30 to 40. Again, we're meant to get pregnant when we start menstruating. Again, I'm not saying this is the way you should do it, but we've made childhood go on until you're 25. So birth control pills, abortion pills, IUDs, any method of reproduction of holding back has adverse effects, because number one, you think you could just party and have sex with anyone, which is not good, right? Oh, I'll be fine. You know, you're partying in an amusement park till you're 25 or 35, and then you say, okay, now I'll change it. The habits are deadly. Alcohol is deadly. Marijuana is deadly. Drugs are deadly. And the synthetic hormones, I don't think, are in our best interest. That one is, they postpone the thing that you should be doing early and earlier. And there are likely some adverse effects that I think we don't always understand the why part of it.
So being, following a carnivore diet, when you watch documentaries such as what is the one that was not Carspiracy, but the Game Changer. Have you seen Game Changer? It's about they're proving that having eating vegan, being vegan, eating vegetarian food, or especially vegan protein, that's the best we could eat, much better than animal protein. What would you say to them?
Communism, Nazism, propaganda that the masses will listen to because they're drugged on plants. So we become highly docile, domesticated, when we're plant-based eaters, because we're addicted to the plant substances and we want more. Mm. Lions and wolves that are fed plants become dogs and cats. They're domestic animals. Okay. So you're just a domestic animal that's listening to the propaganda, like the Nazis and the communists, and no disrespect to anyone, by the way, but we kind of know what propaganda, you know, believe me, I'm right. Do what I say and you'll be healthy. Okay. Right. But we're lions. You want to be led or do you want to lead? You are what you eat. That is the truth. Every addictive chemical comes from a plant. Name an addictive chemical that comes from fatty red meat. None. Except the feeling of being the lion. When you feel control and you can stand still in the storm of the war and know that you are God. That is it, right? Again, these are the simple concepts. But, you know, listen, you can fight a pig, but pigs like mud. You better love mud. I don't fight against anything. I share a mission, an idea for something valuable. Mm. You can be a plant eater. You great, go for it. But if you're coming to me and you got a medical problem, a depression, anxiety, ADHD, schizophrenia, psychosis, criminality, I don't care what it is. You're a plant eater, you're a drug user, you're a domesticated animal. Don't you want to be your own leader in life? All of us want to be that. Listen, and I'm only telling you from experience. I was kicked out of school in a gang, couldn't read. I was a follower. But when I finally became the lion, I know how to lead. But I'm not trying to overwhelm and lead everyone else. I want to lead my life. You lead your life. You want to be a vegan? Go at it. I honor you, by the way. But if you want to share incorrect scientific propaganda, I will speak up. I will give you, it's simple. You know, if you're a bunch of sheep, do you want to be led by a sheep or a lion? A lion. And if you're a bunch of lions, do you want to be led by a sheep or a lion? It's always a lion, right? And that's what we honor in the world, the lions. All respect to pigs, cows, and sheep. But domesticated dogs and cats are domesticated because they're fed a plant-based diet. All the human diseases happen to dogs and cats. Domestication. We're the wild.
Or recently, they're starting to give the dogs and cats insects.
Well, diet-based on insect. But they're giving them insects in flour. You see, we're always trying to make something what it isn't.
Yeah.
Believe me, if you could not find meat, you'd eat an insect. We ate bugs. I'm sure we did. But do you want a bug or do you want a beef? Do you want the buffalo or the bug? Like all day long, because the bugs, spiders and bugs are highly antigenic. Okay. Beef is not antigenic. Does that make sense?
Makes total sense. Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure. Where can people find you?
DrKiltz.com, DrKiltz, or just, Google Dr. Kiltz and you'll find me. CNY Fertility. But my job in life is to help give everyone the simple foundation that God is within all of us. And we are the lions, not the pigs, cows, and sheep. And you are what you eat.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for tuning into the Hunger for Change podcast. I hope the conversation with Dr. Kills was interesting and useful to you. I also wanted to take a moment to talk about Naturally, my brand of healthy food products. At Naturally, we are on a mission to change the world through what we eat. This is why we worked so hard to make products that are delicious and also good for you. They're all gluten-free and have no refined sugar. My personal favorites are the cheesy snacks, chocolates, and cacao hazelnut spread. We also have kale chips, granolas, nut bars, nut butters, and protein powders, as well as many cool snacks to be released this year. At the moment, Naturally is only available in Europe. You can head over to our website, naturally.com, and it will take you to our online store. If you're in Italy, Portugal, Germany, Poland, France, the Netherlands, or Sweden, you can find them in Amazon. Search for Naturally. I will leave all of these links in the description anyway, so that you can find them. Thank you so much for listening, and stay tuned for the next episode.